From a dark entity in a nursing home, to haunted cemeteries, UFOs, and guardian angels, tonight's episode shares more listener encounters with the unexplained. So sit back, relax, and join me as we take another deep dive into the world of the paranormal.
The first time it happened, I was sleeping and woke up because I felt a hand on my leg and I realized that I couldn't move.
And he came across this object on the ground, which was the shape of a flying saucer. So he jumped out of his pickup and went down there, and there was four beings laying on the ground.
When I raised my head back up, I was turning my head, and out of my peripheral vision, I seen something hop to a tree. And it was tall, about 7-8 foot tall, and it was black, real hairy, like a gorilla.
Welcome to the Paranormal Mysteries Podcast, and thank you for being here. I am your host, Nick Ryan. As always, I'd like to start out the show by saying a huge thank you to our wonderful patrons, Robin, Cassandra, Julie, Courtney, Tiffany, Stephen, Mystica, Carly, Kyriakos, Unika, Mary, Andrew, Sarah, Angie, Nick, James S., Molly, Maddie, Carrie, Colin, James P., and our newest patron, Chris. Your support and generosity is truly amazing, and it makes our podcast possible. Thank you so much. Our first story of the night comes from James. James calls his story, Angels and Omens. James says, "My friend Tootsie married her high school sweetheart. After maybe 6 months of being happily married, he had a horrible accident at his job. The paramedics had to bring him back to life at the scene, twice. After this all happened, Tootsie told me of some things that had happened that she believes may very well have led up to this horrific accident. She told me, and I'm a little unclear on how it was said or the specifics, but that her husband had made a deal with the devil. Tootsie and her husband used to drive up to Wisconsin to visit his grandmother, and while they were sitting in the kitchen, a crow flew through the window and landed on the refrigerator. The grandmother nearly lost her mind, saying, 'This is not good. Something bad is going to happen.' It wasn't 2 weeks later that the accident happened. This is far from the end of this story, but I have to tell you this story to reconnect Tootsie's story. Years later, I had reconnected with a family that I had spent a good part of my life with. The oldest son of this family's members had mentioned that he is sensitive to spirits, saying that he would see things in his house, although he was the only one that would have these experiences. He was 18 and had two little brothers, and after talking about it, they all got the idea of going into a cemetery the following night. But me, the oldest son, and his girlfriend went out that same night. We went to two cemeteries that night. And while walking into the second one, he started brushing his arm like he was trying to get something off of it, and started telling me that he feels spider webs, except he was wearing a long-sleeved hoodie. He was very shaken by this, and when he held his girlfriend's hand, she could feel it too. He was really freaked out and started making his way out. He was on crutches at the time. I'm telling you that because the next night, when we were supposed to go out again, he was really opposed to the idea, but with some convincing from his brothers, we headed back out to the first cemetery that we went to the previous night, because nothing had happened to him there. We got into this cemetery and started walking deeper and deeper. We were about 20 minutes in when he starts yelling, 'Jinx! That's my nickname since I was a little kid. I'm the F out of here!' While peeling his hoodie off, trying to get that spiderweb feeling off, and with his crutches, he started moving quicker than anyone could move on crutches, back down the path towards the cemetery gate, while his brothers were laughing. At least 6 months had passed to where his curiosity got the best of him, and he called me to see if I wanted to go to a popular haunted location known as Bachelor's Grove, in Midlothian, just southwest of Chicago. We went and ran into some other paranormal seekers that invited us to go with them to an old house that is now a historical museum. I think it's called the Humphrey House in Orland Park. We followed along until we got there, and he told me that he didn't want to go in. I could tell something was bothering him, but I told him that I was going in, and that I'd be right out. When I came out, he was on the porch talking to some lady, and his eyes were welled up, and I could see that he was upset. The lady told him that a young man was trying to tell him that it was okay. He told me in the car when we left that it was his buddy that had recently died of cancer, and that he called him to come and visit him while at the hospital, but he couldn't that day, and that he died before he was able to. Again, some time had passed, but this particular incident seemed to have set something off with him, because he started calling me alarmed and scared, telling me that he was hearing voices, often asking for help. Then he started seeing things, shadows, moving quickly from room to room. One day, while he was getting ready for work, he saw an old lady sitting on his couch, and he called me saying, "We have to find that lady for help," referring to the lady on the porch of that house that saw his friend. Once again, some time had passed, and all this seemed to have stopped. He called me one day, saying that he wanted to see what would happen if we went to a haunted location. I did a quick search and found a place called Archer Woods Cemetery. I didn't read the story behind it. I just saw that it was haunted, and with that and the general location, I jumped in my car to pick him up. We got there and parked across the street, and with my camera and audio recorder, we approached the cemetery gate, which was wide open. He didn't like the feeling, so he stopped and said, "I don't like it. It feels dark." There was a pickup truck by the office building, and I said that I was going to go see if anyone was there, so that we didn't get arrested for trespassing. So I walked around the circular driveway to the house, and didn't see any lights or anything. I started back to the gate where I had left him, but he had made his way in about 50 feet, telling me that that particular spot was the only spot that he felt comfortable. Then he pointed, saying, "Do you see him? Do you see him? They are moving from tree to tree. Do you see them?" So I started taking pictures just randomly because I didn't see anything. Then he points and says, "He's not scared. He's just watching us." We left and got in the car, and he says, "There's a girl with us, and she's sad." Then he says, "Archer, Archer." He was talking about the road nearby, not the cemetery that we had just left. I started to drive toward Archer, and he crosses his arms across his face, like he's trying to block something. And he says, "She was hit by a car. No, she was beat to death." Then he says, "She has two kids. One is 7, the other is 9. As we drove down Archer, he says, "It's hilly," talking about where we were supposed to be going. And as we drove further, he goes, "It's up here, on the left." I freaked out to see another cemetery that's up on a hill. Monk's Castle is what it's known as, I found out later. I drove into the cemetery and up the hill, and he says, "She's gone." So I got out of my car and started taking random pictures, and he says, "She said stop, you're making them mad." Tootsie moved to a house in Villa Park, and would often hear crying from her basement, so I asked my friend's son, the guy that I was just talking about. I brought him along to see if he could pick up on anything, and he just seemed to have drifted into autopilot, so to speak. He then tells Tootsie that he hears a song, "I Got You, Babe," and Tootsie just lost it. It's the song that they used to sing when they would drive to Wisconsin to his grandmother's house. There is no way that anyone would know something so personal. They got each other's contact information, and as it turned out, it seemed he was able to see through her husband's spirit eyes. He's not dead. He's living in a care facility since the accident. But through a phone call, he could see everything around her. He could tell her what she was wearing and what room she was in. After James emailed me this story, he followed it up by saying this. "When me and my friend's son went to Archer Woods Cemetery, my audio recorder picked up something saying, you better watch yourself. What I didn't find out until after that night was that Archer Woods Cemetery is known to have a crying lady at the cemetery gate. Our next story of the night comes from Devin. Devin's story is called Face to Face with a Demon. Devin says, "Hi, Nick. I've been listening to your podcast for some time now and enjoying each episode more than the last. My whole life, I have been in touch with my spirituality and spirits and entities around me. I have gone to workshops and camps to grow my skills as a paranormal investigator and medium. I have an abundance of stories and experiences, but one always sticks out in my head. There was a small abandoned farmhouse near my hometown that a lot of people in town told me and my group of friends about, that there was a demon-like entity in the basement of the house, so we decided to check it out. We were on the property in the late afternoon to get some pictures of the house and property in the daylight. Me and my closest friends were walking past the side of the house, and we glanced into the small basement window, and we both froze and stared at what we saw for what felt like hours. A feeling of pure terror came over both of us, and what I can only describe as dread. What me and her saw was shadow that no light could pass through, and we could see the shelf behind the entity on the right and left, but not through it. This was a solid black mass that had glowing green eyes. When my gaze met that of this entity, my eyes locked. At this point, the entity began to attempt to speak to us, but instead of words, the only thing that the two of us heard was a gargling sound and a black, viscous liquid began pouring from the entity's mouth. We both broke free from our trance, and with tears filling our eyes, we told our fellow investigators that we needed to leave. We left the property, explaining what we had seen to the rest of our team. I was terrified to go back to that house, but after some convincing, we decided to return that night for our investigation. We placed a recorder in the upstairs of the house for the whole time we were in the house, for about 2 hours, and we got some EVPs of light footsteps, children laughing, and as the night carried on, and as we provoked the entities in the house, we received growls and scratches. Our lead investigator, who uses some aggressive investigation techniques that I don't completely agree with, was scratched in the basement. This is where we were forced to end our investigation early, after the scratch and an unearthly cold surrounded us, followed by a darkness that our flashlights couldn't break. With my high-powered flashlight, I couldn't see more than 2 to 3 feet in front of me. At this point, we made the decision to pack up our equipment and say our final blessings on ourselves and the house, and we began to walk out of the house. I was at the back, and the front two people had made it out of the threshold of the door, when I was pushed with such force that I knocked over the three people ahead of me. It felt like a wall of pure energy and anger behind me. We all agreed after this night that we wouldn't return to that house, but there is this feeling like a small voice in the back of my head telling me to come back. A kind of primal urge to return, and I feel that I'll have this urge for the rest of my life. Thank you for reading, and sorry for the length. Devin. Our next story of the night comes from Lauren. Lauren shared a story with us in episode 55, and after recently experiencing another unexplainable event, Lauren had this to say. I work the evening shift in a nursing home. I am an empath, clairvoyant, and I channel energy. As you can imagine, my job is very physically and emotionally draining, but I love caring for the elderly. I wasn't my normal self that evening. I felt very lonely and depressed. I was very forgetful and acting like an airhead. I was drained completely, even though it was a relatively calm night. Totally not me, like I said. I'm normally very cheery at work. Anyway, I was doing my rounds and started working with a woman who is always so confused due to dementia. I know her well, and what I'm about to tell you is very out of character for her. I closed the door, moved her curtain halfway for privacy from her roommate, gathered my supplies, and had just started working with her like usual. I heard a man say, "Shh," and immediately after, we both saw the doorknob jiggle. I felt a chill run down my spine, and my arm hair stood on end. Something jiggling the doorknob is uncommon, because when the door is closed, everyone knows you're in the middle of patient care, so you do not attempt to walk in without knocking first. Trying to quickly rationalize the situation, I assumed it might be one of the wanderers I care for, even though I knew everyone was fast asleep. I closed the curtain all the way and stuck my head out of the door. No one was there. No one was even in the hallway. Just me. Very creeped out, I slowly closed the door and looked at my patient, laughed nervously, and said, "Welp, that was creepy." I felt like someone was watching me, but continued working, quicker than before. Something told me I needed to get out. My patient started fidgeting and trying to cover up. She looked behind me and said, "Who is that man?" I'm freaking out internally at this point because I knew she could see something. She validated my feeling of a man being near. She started yelling at me to open the door. I said, "Honey, you're naked. I have to finish cleaning you up. I'm going as fast as I can, I promise." She asked me again while staring at the foot of my bed, "Who is that man? Please open the door." While quickly finishing up, the curiosity got the best of me, and I asked her, "Where is the man now?" She looked directly into my eyes, extremely concerned, and whispered, "Are you a witch?" I said, "No, ma'am, not at all." The room felt so immensely heavy and dark. I finished up and quickly opened the door. She relaxed a bit. I cleaned up, got her situated, and left the room as quickly as possible. Feeling bad for leaving her, I went to check on her after I finished my rounds. Walking into her room, it still felt heavy. I asked her if she was okay, and she just stared at me. It was time for me to clock out, so I had to leave. I'm not sure if what I experienced was evil, but it surely didn't give off a friendly vibe. Our next story of the night comes from Hannah. Hannah's story is called Belief. Hannah says, "Hi, Nick. The college I attend is 4 hours away from home, so when I go home for breaks, I've found myself listening to your podcast because I've always been fascinated by the paranormal. I don't know if this technically counts, but I want to share it anyway. I've always been a big believer in stuff like ghosts and demons, but more skeptical about other things, such as guardian angels and some sort of afterlife that doesn't involve ghosts, which is why I don't know if this would technically count as paranormal. A few days ago, before I sent this email, my parents and I were moving my stuff back home from my apartment up at college. It had been raining the last few days where I live, which is highly unusual for the area. We were maybe 10 minutes away from home, me following behind my parents in my car. A large tree happened to fall just as my parents were passing under it. This is where the kind of paranormal experience comes in. The main part of the tree trunk came down on the back of my parents' car, with the front mostly catching the branches, including a 3-inch rotted branch that came through the windshield, but they were okay. My mom had a sprained wrist, and my dad had a pretty bad bruise on his hand, but other than some cuts from where the windshield shattered, they were okay, which is the paranormal experience. Everyone who either saw the incident, responded to it, or just saw pictures of what the vehicle looked like afterwards, said that they really don't know how my parents are even alive, or at least not seriously injured, especially because the rotted branch that came through the windshield should technically have impaled my mom. We also don't know how I also wasn't hit by the tree or plowed into it, despite me slamming on the brakes the moment I realized it was falling, because I was pretty close behind them when it began falling. I'm not sure if guardian angels would count as paranormal experiences, but just the whole ordeal, there's no way there wasn't someone or something looking out for my parents and me that night. So I wanted to share this experience, on the off chance that there's someone else like me who believes in a lot of paranormal stuff, but is more skeptical about things such as miracles and guardians. Especially since I've had many nightmares where my parents die in some sort of car accident, and have always feared they'll come true, and well, they almost did. I'm still not really religious, but this experience did make me fully believe that ghosts aren't the only possible afterlife for us when we die, regardless of what scientists might say. Thank you for taking the time to read this. Sorry it's kind of long, and if it doesn't technically count as a paranormal experience and just some bizarre luck of the draw. I'm looking forward to catching up on your podcast when I feel like I can listen to it again without getting flashbacks to that night. I can try and send some pictures or post them in the forum later on, if you or anyone would be interested in seeing exactly how the car looked afterwards. I hope you and your family are doing well. Thanks for listening. Hannah. The next story of the night comes from Shannon. Shannon calls their story, Shades of My Family. Shannon says, Hello, Nick. I've been listening to your podcast since a little after this virus crept up. I've been delving into my interest in the paranormal after becoming bored with traditional YouTube videos. I currently live in Southwest Washington. The following took place in the middle of California, about an hour east of Sacramento. I had several encounters that seemed to fall under the same category of visitations and questionable figures appearing to me in the night. These all have transpired roughly between the ages of 6 and 9, but these two happened when I was closer to 6. I remember when I was little, ever since moving from the Bay Area, my mom would check on me before she went to sleep at night. The light was always on in the hallway, with my door open about a half a foot to let some comforting light in. My bed happened to face the doorway across my small room. This night, my mom looked a little different. I woke up for whatever reason and saw my mom standing in the doorway, except the light was off this time, so I could only see a shadowy silhouette by way of the window, letting in some neighborhood lamppost light. Immediately, I realized this wasn't my mom. She had glowing red eyes, and she slowly raised her arm to point at me, and she said, You. From the moment I saw her, a slow, low, and steady buzzing had begun in my ears, like nothing I've ever heard. It slowly increased in intensity, until I panicked and threw the blanket over my head while I lay my head back down and squeezed my eyes shut in an attempt to wake up. Instead of waking up, I opened them eventually, and she was gone. The light was still off, however. It was unlike them to have the light off. I had this terrible gut feeling from this appearance, like someone somewhere is expecting something of me. Not long after, within the same month, when it was light out more, even in the night, between the summer months, of course, I woke to a similar chilling experience. This time, however, it was my brother, or it looked like him. This time he was on my bed, on the corner where I kept my huge stuffed Easter bear I recently received for the holiday. It was my brother's shadow sitting in the big bear's place. My brother and I are pretty close, so it didn't seem totally strange he was in there, except that it was the middle of the night, and where was my oversized stuffed black bear? David? I said. He didn't answer, and instead, the same buzzing took over. Except this time, the redness, like my mom's eyes, took over my whole vision. I could feel the redness all over my body, and I fell back, and thus fell asleep, as soon as my head hit the pillow. My brother said that morning that he hadn't gone into my bedroom that night, and instead shared or reminded me of his own experience he had had with the paranormal. I have a couple more similar experiences that involved something that may be the Top Hat Man, as well as a shared dream with my other brother, if you're interested. Stay safe and healthy. Thanks again. Shannon. Our next story of the night comes from Lucas. Lucas calls their story, Strange Things. Lucas says, Hey Nick, I found your podcast about a week ago, and I love listening to it. I am 16, about to turn 17, and have already seen quite a few things that I can't really determine whether or not were real or just mind tricks. The first thing that I've seen might have been a UFO. When I was in fourth grade, my mom woke me up for school at about 6 in the morning. Today, I decided to look outside of my window, and I saw a fox running down the street with what looked like a mouse in its mouth. Once I couldn't see the fox anymore, I looked up into the sky, watching the sun rise up above all of the houses. To the left, about north or northeast, I saw a little gray dot moving. I was able to look at it for about 5 or 6 seconds, and then in a blink of an eye, it darted to the left, then the right, then shot straight up into the sky, leaving a faint blue trail. I never saw it again after that. Another possible UFO I've seen was about 2 years ago, and it happened at night, a few weeks before Christmas. I was inside of a zoo with my parents, my uncle, and my sisters. I have always been fascinated with space and the stars. That night the stars were out, and I looked up every few minutes to gaze at them. Then when I looked up into the sky, there was something that looked like an explosion, except there wasn't any noise. There was a thick line of lights that consisted of red, white, and green. Some blue might have shown up, but it all happened in a split second. And after that, just like the last story, I never saw it again. I know these aren't all that fascinating, but I still think they're kind of cool. I have a couple paranormal incidents that happened to me and my mom, but those stories will have to wait. Thank you for doing what you do. Lucas. Our last story of the night comes from Destiny. Destiny's story is called Not My Grandfather. Destiny says, "Hi, I wanted to share my story with you. I have grown up in a very spiritual family. My mom is Wiccan. We have lived in many houses where strange things have happened, but one really sticks with me. We lived in my grandfather's house after he passed. I was 15. Strange things happened, drawers rattling, and footsteps. Then it progressed to knocks on the door in the middle of the night. Then one day, a gallon bucket of paint that we had on the counter while remodeling flew off the counter at us. It only got worse from there. I started hearing voices in the shower, calling me by name. I would hear voices at night, but see no one. Like I said, I grew up in a spiritual family, so I spoke to my mom about it all, and she saged our house multiple times. One night, in the middle of the night, I was pinned to my bed to the point that I couldn't breathe. This thing was out to hurt me. It wasn't long before I moved out. I would like to add to a previous story that when I was about 6, I stayed with my grandmother during the summers, and every night, a man would stand in my room with a top hat on and a long coat, and he was very tall. He never spoke or moved. He would just stand there, and this went on for years. When I told my grandmother, she told me that it was impossible. He still visited every night, and I tried to speak with him, but he was silent. If I ever got out of the bed, he was gone. I stopped seeing him when I was around 17. Thank you for letting me share. As always, if any of you have thoughts, advice, or a similar story that you'd like to share with tonight's listeners who have shared their story, you may email me and I'll be sure to forward your message on to them. As we come to the end of another episode, I'd like to say thank you to all of you for listening and supporting the podcast. Until next time, I hope that you all have a safe and healthy week, and I'd like to say thank you to James, Devin, Lauren, Hannah, Shannon, Lucas, and Destiny for writing in and sharing their experiences with all of us. If you believe that you or someone that you know has witnessed something unexplainable, and you'd like to have your story shared on the podcast, you can contact me at paranormalmysteriespodcast@gmail.com. You may also visit paranormalmysteriespodcast.com and click on the Tell Your Story link. Please remember that no matter how insignificant or outlandish you believe your experience may seem, I'd like to hear about it. All of our contact information, as well as the sources that were referenced for today's episode, can be found in the show notes. You can also get involved with the podcast by joining our forum and by following us on social media. If you're on Facebook or Instagram, you can find us at Paranormal Mysteries Podcast or on Twitter at Paramystery Pod. And while you're there, please give us a follow. If you're wondering how you can support the podcast, you're supporting it right now just by listening, and we really appreciate it. You can also help by subscribing to the podcast and by sharing it with all of your friends. If you're looking for additional ways to show your support, you can visit patreon.com/paranormalmysteries and become a patron. Benefits include ad-free episodes and early access to select shows. New episodes of the Paranormal Mysteries Podcast are produced every week and are available on all of your favorite podcast apps, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. From all of us at the Paranormal Mysteries Podcast, thank you so much for listening, and please remember, don't wait for the unknown to come to you. Get out there and find it.